Welcome to the Fantasy Golf Degenerates Podcast.
What's going on, DGen Nation? Kenny Kim here, bringing you another Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast this week for the Byron Nelson Classic. As usual, I am here with everybody's favorite Canadian, the Canadian Pitbull, Tyler Tambourine. Tyler, how are you this week, brother?
I'm doing good, man. Back at it again. The Rory redemption, I guess, if you will, for a guy that not as many people liked. I know some out there were on him, but I certainly was not one of those. So we'll talk about that in a second. Before we get into it, I want to remind everyone very quickly, this podcast is brought to you and presented by rotogrinders.com. Head on over to rotogrinders.com/dgen. Get yourself 10 bucks off your first month. I'll talk more about what I've got going on over there at the end of the podcast. But yeah, Kenny, this was it, man. It was Rory week for sure. I guess the one thing I overlooked particularly, I know that the Masters had patrons, some there, and the players had some fans, but a super pro Rory crowd at Quail Hollow. And he said, you know, he'd feed off that crowd. I know it was Mother's Day yesterday. Shout out to all the moms, but Rory certainly stole the show. Had his daughter there, Poppy, you know, his wife, everyone was there to see it. So still good to see. Obviously it's, you know, it's Rory. It's not quite the same to me as when Spieth comes back and got his win, but you know, still nice to see Rory back in the winner's circle after everything that he'd had going on lately.
Yeah. So the one thing I did say last week was that if Rory was going to be able to come back and show his game the way he normally has played, Quail Hollow would be the place to do it. And of course, I just didn't listen to my, you know, my thoughts, and I faded him, you know. So that was a little frustrating. We had a great win by him. I think the big thing of the week was him talking about how he's changed his off the tee game a little bit. Didn't necessarily help too much on the accuracy front. But the thing is, like, he only had a couple of big misses. One was on 18. You know, his misses weren't as large as they'd been throughout the year so far, hitting that cut off the tee. When Dustin Johnson changed primarily to the cut off the tee is when he did most of his damage throughout his career in the last, I'd say, 5 years. And this is something we could see from Rory. The thing about Rory is, you know, his short game's probably not the weakest part of his game. You know, when it comes down to it, he has ups and downs in every facet. You know, he's not Tiger, but throughout his career, his short game has probably been his weakest part of his game. And I think missing a lot of fairways wildly has led to some of that. You know, he talked about trying to get some more distance, and you could tell that sort of messed with his game off the tee a little bit, which doesn't really make sense since he's one of the longest, best drivers in the world for the last decade plus. But I do like the move to a cut. I think it limits the wild misses and it can keep him, and it will eventually lead him to hitting more greens. And then when he putts like he did on this past week, I mean, he's going to win. I mean, anyone putts like he did this past week, they're going to win. I think he had the least amount of fairways hit for a winner in like 5 years, something like that. And the thing about this is we've seen this happen at Wells Fargo before. If you listen to my course preview last week, I mean, a lot of guys who finished highly in that tournament, they ended up missing a lot of fairways. So it made sense. It didn't really have to be extremely accurate. Now, I did jump on Rory 18-1 on Friday after I heard all of the talk about, you know, his drive and his, you know, feeling more confident in working with Pete Cowan. So I like that number. I'm happy that I got 18-1 at the PGA Championship. I heard a rumor that you could find that somewhere today online on some book, but it's gonna be tough to find. I think a lot of books have him as the favorite, like 10-1, 9-1, 11-1 right now, which I still think is probably worth it, because the last time he played Kiowa, he won by 8 strokes. So it seems like something that he can definitely dominate. Yeah. You know, other than that, you know, you saw Keith Mitchell. I mean, another guy who was just exceptional off the tee. He was hitting a lot of fairways. And one thing I didn't realize is how long Mitchell is off the tee. The guy can poke it out there. It was really impressive seeing him do his thing. You know, so, you know, Hovland again, up there once again, one of my cash game cornerstones. And I did say that I was going to change the way I went about my cash game cornerstones. Didn't really pan out too well since Willie Z missed a cut. Shank, my punt play, missed a cut. If you missed last week's show, the way I'm going about it is I'm going to try and find three guys who I like, who I think can win, or at least top five, top three, you know, that I wouldn't mind betting on in those ranges. Numbers be damned. And then one punt play. And I'm doing that again this week. And getting a cash lineup this week is pretty damn tough. The pricing is really tight and everything. What do you think about, what did you think about last week and other aspects of this week coming up?
Yeah, for those, stick around for the cash plays. They're certainly off the wall. I got a chance to hear them before we get on here live. So yeah. I love the new strategy though, brother. I think it's a good call.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't finish. You know, I only had 3 of 6 make the cut. Hovland finished what, third?
Second,
that or a third. Right up to... Yeah, and that was enough. I was only within like 25 points.
Yeah.
Of cut of the cash line, you know, with the guy just in third place. If he wins, I probably still win the cash, but really close. One of my other guys, you know, if they made the cut, you know, it would have worked out. And I just think upside is the play in cash now. Like last week again, single digit 6 of 6. I think there was only, I think it was like 35%, 33%, 5 of 6 or better. So it's just getting tougher and tougher to get 6 of 6 through. You know, even though the cut moved to +2 and you had Bryson, you know, fly back from Dallas to make it, and you had like 79 people make the cut, which is a lot more normal. But I still think it's difficult to get that. Even with that, it was still single digits. Yeah. So that just shows how difficult it's getting to get 6 of 6 through. A lot of players are missing consistency in their game that we've seen a little bit more of in the past. But I think a lot of that has to do with the top 70 in ties being dropped to top 65 in ties. So that's how I'm going about cashing it. This week, a little bit wilder, a couple of wild cards in there. But that's how I'm going with cash now. We'll see. We'll try for the next few months. If it fails, we'll have to go back to the drawing board. But this is what I'm going to do for cash from now on. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, no, I like it. Like I said, I think it's good for MME as well. When you think about it, upside is king right now. Some of the, you know, I'm reviewing the lineups every Mondays over at RotoGrinders, a free show that you can check out and just go on there and basically look at it. But 5 out of 6s are getting to the top of these leaderboards more and more often. When you got to pound in some of these guys like List, Mitchell, Wise, going back to this week, guys that sort of came through, just pound in that upside. Yeah, they're going to fail you a lot of times, but when they hit, they can hit big for you. And then in some cases, even if your last guy in your 6 of 6 is horrible, or if you just have a 5 out of 6, I mean, in cash, that's going to be perfect. In GPPs, though, I'm saying those are still climbing their way up to the top, especially in the higher dollar, smaller field entry thing. So as far as this week goes, the thing about Rory was this too. I saw this stat Justin Ray posted. I thought it was pretty interesting because I know the putter was the talk of the week, but top three in the field in driving distance, top three in greens and regulation. And then of course, scrambling and putting everyone was talking about, but it's kind of funny back to the point you mentioned and where he, you know, the classic interview question where he kind of admitted to chasing Bryson a little bit. He was looking for longer distance than what he's able to do out of that rough. Here, he missed a bunch of fairways, but he was still top three in length, hit all the greens like you need to, and then made his putts. Any tournament where Rory's making putts, there's going to be trouble for the rest of the field. And with the guys that he had up there with him, I liked his chances at least going into Sunday based upon that. Other guys, like you said, Answer and Hovland, these guys are just knocking at the door every single week. I wish I were here this week, but we'll get on them for the PGA Championship, regardless of price and ownership. I'm kind of hoping Hovland especially comes in at a big DraftKings price for the PGA Championship, and people want to move off them just a little bit, right? If just because they can't play everyone in a range or something like that, I don't think I'll get my wish. But you know, other guys, Reed did his thing, Wise, Bryson, you know, the ad nauseum with the, you know, flight conversation. Like, yeah, he flew home, he's private jet, he chilled out for 6 hours, he flew back, like, cool. But yeah. You know, good for him. He's just that good, and we're going to definitely talk about him this week. This is shaping up to be a big Bryson week. I can't wait to get into this one. Any other thoughts for the week there, Kenny? I thought you named it perfectly. You talked about it a little on Twitter, I think, with the Rory swing change. I think it was somebody mentioned that when DJ or I forget who made the change, and went just to that purely and then just went on a massive run. I thought it was DJ, but maybe you know a little more about that.
Yeah, it was DJ. I mean, I can pull that up real quick while I pull it up. I think one of the things I liked about last week, and we can think about when we see him, is Patrick Reed. Basically, a miscut means nothing for him. The week after, the one thing that guy misses is a little bit of consistency in his game. But like, if he misses a cut, you could just basically ignore that the next week. It doesn't really matter at all. And he finished in sixth place this past week. So, yeah, it's just something to think about when it comes to Reed. Okay, so DJ, he went strictly cut off the tee around March 2016. When he turned 32 years old. And since then he's played in 110 events, 16 wins, 35 top threes, 9 missed cuts, won a U.S. Open right after the switch. Before March of 2016, he played 200 events, 9 wins, 19 top threes, 34 missed cuts. Rory's now 32, changed to a cut off the tee. I said if he didn't win Quail Hollow, his next start would be the PGA Championship, and that would have been his 28th start. And I think DJ won in his 28th start after the switch as well. So that sort of fucked up my narrative a little bit by a round with Rory winning this past week. But it was pretty damn close. You see what happened when it comes down to it. So, yeah, DJ, he became number one. And getting Rory at 18-1, I was very, very happy with on Friday. I put a bunch
and the thing about Rory too, the chance for the 20-5 club at the PGA Championship is pretty insane. It'll be his 20th win on tour and also his fifth major at the same time. So that's like you said, just the game is working all around. I'd imagine the irons and the driver get straightened out even a little bit more. It's just that much more dangerous than what we just saw in this past weekend. So certainly excited for that. But
and you definitely saw him. You saw him, win on a course where he's won twice. The last time played Kiwa, he won by 8 fucking strokes. So he's going back to another course that he's probably more familiar with than the majority of people in the field. I mean, when was it the Kiwa last? 2012. It's been almost 10 years. I would say 90% of the golfers, 80% of the golfers in the field next week never played the course. And the thing's going to be a freaking monster. 7,700 yards, 7,800 yards, depending on the wind right on the coast. All right, Charleston, get that whole area of South Carolina. It can get windy out there. I mean, and it was tough conditions. And, yesterday Rory won with minus 10. It was a tough course. I think that might have been his first victory ever, European, or not one of his first victories. I had this stat a few weeks ago, so I don't have it off the top of my head, but. I would say 90 to 95% of Rory's wins have been minus 15 or better. I don't think he's ever won an event where the winning score was minus 12 or worse. So that's something that was really big in my mind coming this week with Rory. Rory winning on a non-birdie fest type of course when he changes his swing. That's a pretty big fucking deal. Winning at minus 10. And, if he birdied. So, he was right there, minus 12 too. So he could have not messed up that record, but I mean, he had the bogey hit the water. That was sort of a ballsy play on 18 as well. Taking the drop.
Didn't matter when you're hitting all the greens though, right? You knew he's hitting the greens. So you just two putted out and two make it happen.
50 feet though. I mean, it wasn't like an easy ass two putt. You know what I'm saying? So that putter was nice. So lots of stuff going on with Rory. It was good to see him back. Getting that victory, not my favorite player on tour. But people love him, and I think he's great for the game. What are we talking about next? Should we go? You got anything else to say about that?
No. I think we go to Listener League.
All right, let's go to the Listener League. We got Nutsky Mikel. I feel like he's won before. I feel like Nutsky has won before. I am not sure. His avatar looks like Doug the Pug with holding some type of video in his hand. I'm sure Cust would be happy with that. I don't know if you guys listen to Pat, but it looks like Doug the Puck out there. So he started with Joaquin Niemann, one of my casting cornerstones. I finished minus one in 18th place. 67 points, 30.4% owned. Hovland, one of my cash game cornerstones, about 25% owned, 90.5 points, tied for third. Matt Wallace, one of my favorite players last week, 20.8% owned. I talk all this, and this guy won, and the first three guys, three of my favorite plays, and I did all right GBPs. I didn't win cash, but I won in GBPs $20. So it wasn't a horrible week. Still lost for the week, but I'll take it. Matt Wallace, 20.8%, finished in sixth. He had a pretty horrible Saturday, which really led to a little bit of a downfall. He was right up there, though. Fleetwood, which is sort of surprising, less than 4% owned, finished in 14th, minus two, 69 points. Bubba, who was playing really well until, what, he went six over on his last two holes, cost him like $500,000 or something like that. So it cost a lot of people a lot of money as well. Finishing 18th, 74.5 points, and he was 12.16% on Keith Mitchell, again, who had a great week. He looked really good off the tee, man. It was impressive. Finished in third, eight under, 98.5 points, 2.4% on. What's that?
I might dial some Keith Mitchell back up this week here, but we'll get to that. Yeah, no, I thought the lineup was good. Natsuki Mikel, by the way, first, third, and ninth. Really wanted that Bryson hat. Shout out to DraftKings for throwing that in. I know they're working that out on the back end. He got himself a Bryson DeChambeau autographed hat. So I'm not sure if it's going to be a hat or, you know, what it's going to be exactly, a Bryson style, but
like the old school, what's it called?
Like the a beret?
Yeah, like the thing Biggie wears. I forget what they're called.
I hear who knows? What you're saying. Yeah, you know what I'm saying though, right? So yeah, I'm sure he'll get set up proper with that. But yeah, he really went after it. First, third, and ninth. This lineup here just solid all around. Some guys that, you know, not many were on in Fleetwood. No one really wanted to play Mitchell, even though he'd been playing some pretty good golf. I know the team event was sort of thrown out a little bit, but other than that, he's still okay. And so, yeah, the rest of it makes sense. Hovland, Neiman, love those guys last week. Anser was another guy, like, he doesn't have him here, but I'm just saying, like, those type of plays, Hovland, Anser, Neiman, guys that you can just dial in pretty much any tournament and get some good, you know, ceiling out of them, if you will. So I think that this was good all around. We'll see Natsuki Mikel in the four-man this week. I think we're going to run it back with Big Easy, 952, I believe it was, just because he missed from the week before, I think, right?
Yeah, we had the winner from before the Zurich on, and he didn't play in our four-man. So our four-man was canceled. So we're going to get Big Easy back on. Let's do another four-man this week with Natsuki Mikel and Doug the Pug. So let's get to this week. The PGA Tour heads back to Texas for the Byron Nelson Classic from TPC Craig Ranch. This event has changed courses a bunch in the last few years. This is the first time the tour has played here, but there have been a couple of Korn Ferry Tour events back in 2008, 2012. A handful of players in this week's field played at least once in those two events, including like Leishman, List, Han, a few others. I'm really not taking too much into that, but the winning score was around minus 18, minus 16, and that was when it was a par 71. So I do think this week you're going to see mid to high, I'd say high teens win, maybe even 20 under. It just depends on, especially with the par fives, and I'll talk about that in a second. But unless the winds pick up, it is Texas. You never know. They can get crazy. So we'll see how that goes. There are plenty of golfers in the field with ties to Texas. The most notable, Spieth, Scheffler, Willie Z, Bryson, Sergio, Fratelli, Palmer, Munoz, Ortiz, and Kang. Weather, of course, like I said, normally plays a big part in Texas. It looks like Wednesday night could bring some rain, which might make the course softer and longer early on. And, of course, you know, Texas winds should be in play. Check the forecast as late as you can before making your lineups so you can see if there will be a wave advantage. We saw last week how important that could be with the PM AM wave having around a two-stroke advantage through the first two rounds. TPC Craig Ranch is a 7,500-yard par 72 with the traditional four par fives and four par threes. Half of the par fours are fairly long, measuring between 450 and 500 yards. It looks like these will be some of the most difficult holes on the course, along with the three par threes over 200 yards. There are a couple of shorter par fours, which could be drivable off the tee. The par fives look to be gettable with only one reaching a 570-yard mark. We should see a lot of birdies and some eagles, especially if it's really soft out there. The long guys going to hit those drives, you know, 310, 315 in the air. Some of them only have, like, you know, depending on the pin location and stuff like that, you know, less than 200 yards for their approach. So, you know, for some of these long guys, 200 yards is like a 7-iron. So I think you can see some eagles this week. Off the tee, golfers see somewhat generous rolling fairways that have some trees and a bunch of bunkers in play. Water isn't playing about 13 holes. We're not talking about like huge Florida-like ponds. A creek runs through the majority of the course, so golfers will have to really miss their spots to get wet. Also, the trees don't seem to be that close to the edge of the fairways and are sporadic in nature, which leads me to believe that accuracy off the tee won't be a huge part, but distance will be more of a key for success. One quirk to the fairways is the zoysia grass that covers them, more prevalent in Australia and Asia, and often leads to flyers for those without experience on them. On approaches, golfers see above average size bent grass greens. Bunkers will be in play, but we will probably see a high green regulation rate for the week, unless the winds really pick up. I think the winners of the Korn Ferry Tour events were like around 80% greens in regulation. Not too sure about the contouring and speed of the greens yet. I'll probably add some of that information on Wednesday in my write-up. Overall, it looks like length off the tee and strong iron play, especially from 175 to 200 yards. And 200 yards plus will be the keys to success here. If you think about it, you know, the four par three, the four par fives, three par threes over 200 yards. You got those five long par fives, par fours. You're looking at probably 8 to 10 shots from 175 and above would be my guess. I don't think golfers with short game deficiencies will have too many issues this week. Like I said, it was a pretty elevated green regulation rate during the Korn Ferry Tour event, unless the wind picks up. So that's something you're going to have to check up. Again, I'll add more to the course Wednesday in my write-up. Tambo, what are you looking for in golfers?
Yeah, lots of things you just mentioned there, Kenny. I think the big thing is there's a lot of, you know, no one's really seen the course for, you know, course history stuff. People are going to go back to the 2008, 2012 Nationwide, some of the Korn Ferry Tour second stage stuff, like you mentioned. But like, imagine saying this guy back in 2008 did this, so let's get on him. Like, that's just not going to be in there. It's good for narratives. It's good for some tidbits of guys that, you know, have seen the course before, sure. But, you know, it's one of those, it's like Kang. Kang's a member here. He won the last Byron Nelson. But for me, man, I'm just going with the guys I think that can score. That, you know, the fairways are a little bit wider. Ryan Palmer was interviewed today talking about playing it a bunch of times, not to talk about Palmer as a play just yet, but just to give you an example, he brought it up and just said, you know, comes down to putting, man. You're going to hit those greens. Who's going to make those putts? So there's lots of opportunity out there for these guys. But I think, you know, with those four par fives, the drivable par fours, everything else, man, no typo, no mispronunciation here, but the AT&T Bryson Nelson is going to be happening. So we can use that to get into the top. I think Bryson is just a smash play. Of course, just if everybody doesn't know, if you're living under a rock, Dustin Johnson was doing backflips off boats on Paulina's IG over the weekend, but he got a little knee discomfort and had to withdraw. So we won't be seeing DJ. Made the decision even easier. I always like to play a little DJ, but this was a spot where, you know, I was just feeling Bryson right from the get-go. You know, I looked at the course, the overview, the little, you know, over the flyover videos of it, man. And it just looks like it reminded me a little bit of the Rocket Mortgage, where him and Wolf just bullied the course. Again, way weaker field there. Here's not that strong once you get beyond the top, but it's a lot of names we'll know and love. So I think the ownership will still be dispersed some, but Bryson's certainly going to be popular and for good reason. I just, you know, can't get away from him. Rahm is the other guy that I like up there. And then, you know, we could play a little Spieth too. I don't play Decky over 10K, and especially not after a double quarantine back-to-back with Japan and everything that he had going on after he won the Masters. So congrats again to him. But I think that's what I'll leave alone. I'm not sure Berger really what to do with him, but I really like Bryson and Rahm at the top. Rahm disappointed some last week, but way heavier on Bryson. What about yourself?
Well, first off, I want to talk about the pricing here. It seems tight. It seems tough. I think DraftKings did a pretty good job, and it made it really difficult for me to pick a cash lineup, especially with the new strategy I have. And you can tell with my fourth play, the punt play, it's going to be a wild week when it comes down to it. But I'm going to go in Spieth with my first cash game cornerstone. I'd like to go Bryson, but that's just, I can't go 11K. I don't mind going 10K anymore. In this with this new strategy I have, but 11K just leaves it a little bit too tough, especially when the bottom half of the field is not that strong. And I want three guys up top that I can play that I think can win or top five. So Spieth is going to be my guy. Texas native, used to the winds. You know, his weakness is driving off the tee, of course, and it's not going to be too much of a factor when it comes down to it this week, because, you know, unless he misses wildly, and then he'll have some problems. But as long as he misses just a little bit, I think he should be fine. We've seen him. He's been playing some of the best golf we've seen in the last, 3 years? In the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 months. So I have no problem starting with Spieth at 10,700. Rahm I like a lot. I think last week's MC was a little bit blurry just because, you know, he was in that bad weather wave. He was still, like, top 10 in ball striking for the week. He just couldn't putt a chip worth a damn. And, you know, that type of stuff, the short game can always go up and down, especially with these top-level guys. But I'm with you. I think Rahm and Bryson are going to be the two GPP plays I play up top. Rahm models out first in my model. You know, his long irons are probably the best in the field when it comes to the top 10 or the 10K and up. So I'm probably going to load up more on Rom than Bryson. And depending on Bryson's ownership, if Bryson's like 25%,
get 50
or more. I think I want 50 Rom. I just got a feeling about Rom. I think he's going to bounce back after what 20 made cuts. He misses his cut. I'm not too worried about that. Now, when you go down a little bit lower, my second cash at cornerstone is Willie Z, but here's the catch on Rosario Torres. I'm a little bit more worried about his missed cut last week than I am about Rom. First off, Willie Z was in the, and this I'm counter arguing myself because he is my cash game cornerstone. I think he could bounce back, but if he fails this week, it's something to look at for Willie Z because, you know, prior to 2020, I mean, the guy had one top five in his career. I think, on the Corn Ferry Tour, like a shit ton of missed cuts. What he's done in the past year and a half, excluding the quarantine or excluding the pause in play for Corona, has been amazing. And I'm hoping that, you know, the last week was just something that was just off, playing a really difficult course. He gets back to Texas, his home state. So I'm hoping that gets back because, again, Willie Z is second in my model in the last 50 rounds with a strong approach play and even better with his longer irons than John Rahm. In the last 50 rounds in this field. Also, the best par five player in this field in the last 50 rounds, tied with Hideki and Ryan Palmer. When it comes down to it. So I'm going back to Willie Z. I'm a little hesitant, though, about that. I almost went Leishman or Scheffler instead, and I wouldn't hate those two plays. The only problem with Scheff is his longer irons aren't the best, especially from 175 to 200. I think he's bottom, 30 in the field from 175 to 200. But in the last 50 rounds. So that worried me a little bit. That's why I didn't go Chef. He was initially in my cash lineup, but I was looking at stats a little bit more and that worried me. And I'm going to play him in GPPs. He's got that Texas narrative. And I'm going to play Koepka in GPPs as well. I think 9,900 being the seventh highest priced golfer in this field, I think there's value in that now. Six. When you take DJ out of it, I think there's value when it comes to that. I think he's going to be healthy. I got no problem playing. I'm not worried about his injury. He played well for one round of the Masters, and then before he fell off a little bit, I think his knee's been 3 weeks. Hopefully it's a little more healthy, and I don't mind him at that price, and I like him at that number. I got him at 23-1. That was before the DJ or after the DJ withdrawal. So I like him as well. Who do you like?
I looked at him this morning, actually, from a betting perspective, was thinking that. But then I looked also at the pricing and, you know, with Willie Z right there, I think Berger could still get a little love. You know, everybody that's around him, I just thought, like you just said, maybe play him here, right? I think Willie Z is always a good play. He should flash the upside. 9,700 when you can get Brooks at 99, though. I don't know where the masses will go, but I feel like Brooks is a pretty good value there at 9,900. So if you can call it value up in this top range. So I don't hate that. I really like Scheffler, who you just mentioned, don't really care about the long irons. I know they're important here, but at the same time, when you talk about a course that looks like this with all the scoring upside, it's, you know, you're going to get a little bit of a boom bust there. In that case, if the irons are off, we're in trouble, but at 9,400, still fair to me for a guy that can go out and is looking to get that win. So I like him. Burns stands out to me for the same reason. You know, most probably won't want to go back. Maybe I know he just got his win and everything, but I still think it's a good spot to go back to him when any course, four par fives, all these opportunities out there. I think he's in play. And then, you know, I mentioned Palmer earlier. I'm guessing, though, he's going to get super popular just based on that. I actually hit him with a bet. I'll talk about it later, 50-1. But, you know, what about Leishman? Because Leishman was sort of, you know, you talked about the Zoysia grass and then also the fact that he was right there. Remember when the Aaron Wise got snubbed? Different course, but similar, you know, style in Texas, Byron Nelson, everything that went with it. When Wise got snubbed with his girlfriend at the end when he couldn't get the kiss, that was when Leishman was right with him there, right? So you think Leishman can do anything here?
Yeah, he was. I was tempted to have him in cash. It's just he's been so inconsistent. That's the only reason. But I, that's sort of the old cash me coming back. So I don't hate Leishman at all. And again, I mean, the Willie Z pick can change, I think, by Wednesday. The more I look into it, I probably won't get no Scheffler, but it would be Willie Z or Leishman. As of now, it's still Willie Z, and we'll see how it goes in my write-up when I do my final cash game cornerstones on Wednesday. So we'll see how that goes. But yes, I do like Leishman this week. I don't know. I'm arguing with myself about those two. I think I'm going to stick with Willie Z. I'm going to give him one more chance, but I do worry about him just a little bit. Last 2 weeks that he's played, he hasn't looked as great. He was in the good weather wave this past week and missed a cut. So I think it's something to worry about if he underperforms this week, because once again, what he's done in the last year plus is sort of an aberration from what his career was beforehand. And I know he's young. I know he could have picked something up, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Like I said, that's why I brought him up. I guess the other guys I wonder about, like, what about Matthew Fitzpatrick? Can he score enough?
I like Matthew in more difficult events, and I don't think this is going to be as difficult. The only thing about him is I think ownership will be extremely low on him. I think he might be the lowest owned 9K and up. So from a game theory perspective, it's not like he's been playing bad. From a game theory perspective, I think he could make a good play.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, cool. We can move on. I just thought I'd bring those guys up because, this range is definitely a little bit wider this week, right? We do have a few more guys in there. So 8 guys that, got to pick through them and pick correctly, right? So I think we can move on from there. 8,900 and down. Kenny, starting with Jason Day. What are you doing there?
Man, I'm not the biggest fan of this range, but I will do my third cash game cornerstone. It's going to be Thomas Peters. Again, I'm going a little bit buck wild this week. I'm going Peters. I think he has top five potential, and that's something I'm looking for, top five winning potential with my first three cash game cornerstones. That's the way it's going to be. His iron play is always the best part of his game. He's pretty good with his longer irons, long enough off the tee, and I think length should be helpful this week. And so I do like Peters. I think he's had, 4 straight top 15s on the European Tour and the PGA Tour combined. So Peters will be my third cash game cornerstone this week. I could get back on Aaron Wise a little bit. He played well last week. Length is still there. Iron game strong. Charles Schwartzel, a guy that I like last week. Now this is the part of the tiers where it starts getting a lot weaker. Paying $8,100 to Charles, a little bit weird, but I think his game is coming back, and I think you can get some decent low ownership on Charles. So I like Charles, and I'll play Keith Mitchell again. I'm down with that. Who do you like?
I like the Peters call, actually, to start with. He's the one I teased you about your cash in cornerstones, but he's certainly fine. I think, like you said, just the upside, the ability. Anytime he's come out on the PGA Tour, a couple different, I know it's, a couple years now, but, PGA Tour Championship showed up. Byron Nelson in itself a couple years back showed up. And then the recent results have been at, Corrales and things like that, where Puerto Rico Open places. So even if the wind wants to pop up, those can be some windy spots. Texas can be windy. He's long off the tee, can score on those par fives. We've seen him, I like him even as a, I'm going to mark it down right now. I didn't bet this. I didn't bet a lot this week, but I could like him for like a first round leader bet, right? Depending on the waves and stuff, we got to wait and see on weather and all that, but he just can come out in a tournament hot. We've seen it at the Masters before him do it. Like he can do that. So I like Thomas Peters there quite a bit. Other guys I like are sticking with from last week, Luke List and Aaron Wise. I'm going to keep playing them. I don't think the ownership is going to be enough there where it's like, oh, those are just got super owned now because of last week. Bottom line is I don't really care. They've been playing good golf. They fit the course. They suit it. They're long. They can score. Upside is there. If you don't want to play them both together, then that's up to you and maybe split it up that way. But I don't even mind having both of them in the same lineup together. So I like List, Wise. I like your call on Schwartz. A little hesitant, but I don't hate it. I like him more than like a Kuchar there or something. And then talked about the top, but like these two at the bottom for me, tough to pick from, but Mitchell just carrying it over from last week, as you mentioned, looked pretty good for most of the tournament. Even on Sunday, he gave Rory a little bit of a run on a couple holes there after he didn't just fall apart. Let's just say it that way, right? He was doing his best to stay in there. It's not someone you expect to go on and close out a tournament when he's leading after round, three. With that 2-stroke lead didn't matter to me. I didn't think, oh, this is a shoe-in that Mitchell's going to go out and win. I thought of it as one hole double bogey and he's right back to the field and then he's in big trouble and he held his own. So I don't mind that. And then Cam Champ is just, again, maybe a boom bust play to most, but the upside is there, man. When you're talking about scoring, length, all those factors. And then, the wins. He's won on tour. So it's not like a surprise if he shows up there on Sunday, can get you top five or whatever it might be when you're talking about building those upside lineups.
Yeah. So let's move on to the 7K range. One of the guys I like here, Carlos Ortiz, another Texas guy out there. Really good with his longer irons, good on par fives. He was in contention until Sunday. He just exploded. His 49th place, 50th place finish, a little bit weird because he did play really good for three rounds You know, he's a good scorer on DraftKings. I think 15th in DraftKings points in the field in the last 50 rounds. You know, long enough, sneaky long off the tee and accurate as well. I think he's 30th in the field in driving distance, top 20 in strokes gained off the tee. So, you know, that blend of accuracy, which you probably won't need that much, but he has a length as well. So I like Ortiz. I like him as a bet at 80-1. He's already won this year. So I do like that number. Munoz, another Texas guy. Again, iron play strong, really good long irons, really good par five score, just like Ortiz, basically fits that same narrative. So I like Munoz up here, Seaweed Doug. I'll go ahead and give him a chance. It's just, man, his putting is so bad. Like, it's like the worst. But again, we see it with these type of guys who are shitty-ass putters, sometimes like Keegan a few weeks ago, Hideki, you know what I'm saying, winning the Masters. When the ball striking is good, one at Morikawa, you know, one good average putting week, and he can fly off the leaderboard. So I like him. Who do you like in the top range?
Yeah, that's why when I was talking about it earlier with a guy like Scheffler, even like if he just gets hot with the putter or whatever, that's where I'm always going to play those types of guys just in case, right? But I like Gooch. I like your Ortiz call. Just, you know, you mentioned, but he's a guy I've always played in this sort of price range. It's a little bit up there. Used to him being like 75, 71, but it's not going to change over 7,800. And the thought process stays the same with the upside is, especially with him, when he makes the cut, he can give you a lot more than, you know, even his score, his finishing position, because he does score. And that's what we would expect to see here. Taylor Gooch, no different. I'm going to stick with him. A lot of upside, a lot of firepower. I think he's a good play in this range. Russell Knox, interestingly enough, not one you would think of, but if you just look at his numbers from last week, he was playing some pretty good golf, more of a grinder. So I could see if he didn't want to go there. Another play almost identical to, or basically I put Ortiz, Cam Davis when he's in the field like last week. And then this other guy here, Sebastian Munoz. That's three guys I think of, you know, very similar in the sense of, again, you know what you're getting when you play them. But when they're on, man, I called Munoz the smiling assassin. This guy's always having fun out there. And when he's putting up numbers, you know, he can go really low and he could definitely be in the mix of a 20 under type tournament. So I think he's in play. You mentioned Doug Gim. Don't hate it. Ben Martin played okay on Sunday. I made a little note of that. You know, what's going on with Doc Redman, though? Before we get to these bottom range guys here, any love for the Doc, man? He's
been, I mean, really, really a disappointing season. I mean, if you think about it, there was a little bit of hype for Doc coming into this year. He just hasn't lived up to it. You saw some glimpses, you know, a couple of weeks ago. There was a couple of rounds he played really well. I don't know. Maybe the hype got to his head. I really have no idea what's going on.
I was always lumping him in with Burns, right? Like Redmond and Burns were like two guys that I was always like, okay, here we go. We're going to see what happens. And Burns has just really turned it on. Obviously the win, but before that, he's been pressing at plenty of tournaments. So just haven't seen it at a Doc, but
This is how bad it is with Doc. I want to play Patton Kizire over Doc. And I would love to. I love Patton Kizire this week. I think he's cast viable. Iron game strong. Well above average with the long irons. Well above average on par five scoring. You know, top 20 in the field in birdies better gain in the last 15 rounds. In the last 50 rounds, that's including DraftKings points too, top 15 in that sort of sneaky point score when it comes to DraftKings. I think the upside is there. For him in cash and in GPPs this week. I couldn't use him as my fourth cash game cornerstone because that would have left me like 13-5 or something like that. So that's just too hard for you guys to go out there and try and pick a couple of low guys. So, but I mean, you could tell he's probably going to be in my cash lineup.
I was just going to say, things you love to see on this podcast is when Kenny's giving out his fifth man. Now you just got to figure out his sixth, guys. Plug it in. Go back. The thing is,
I haven't figured out my six yet. So there you go. So I don't know. I don't know who the six is going to be.
I was just saying, also, you haven't given them the fourth guy yet. So when they plug him in, they're going to be like, oh, shit, I really don't like this lineup. So they're going to get out of here when they hear who your fourth guy is.
And I'm pretty sure my lineup won't be duplicated in cash. Even giving the five out, it's definitely weird this week. Other guys this week in the slow 7K range, John Catlin, three events won, you know, in the European Tour last year. I'm on board. Vegas, another Texas guy. I'll throw him in the lump. Snedeker, guy's been playing good golf. I like him. He would have been my sixth guy, except I'm $100 short when it comes to Sneds. So there you go. I do like Snedeker. He's been playing a lot better. Game looks like an upward swing. What about you in this range?
John Catlin, man, the deserving Ricky Fowler. He was the other sponsors exemption to get into the PGA Championship when everyone was up in arms about how the hell did Ricky get in there. And it turned out they just, you know, gave him an invite, but John Catlin's won three times on the Euro Tour. So yeah, the deserving Ricky Fowler is a good nickname for him. I do like Vegas going back to him. Another guy just can pound it off the tee, score well, upside, not the greatest week last week, but didn't disappoint by any means. I know just, you know, 7,000 last week, went up to 7,200. Didn't change much. Tom Hoagie, a guy I like to play, you know, similar to my guys above, where you just can get some real upside out of him, some scoring. Definitely like him. Patrick Rogers, still stick with him. 3 out of 4 solid rounds, really, last week, man. I thought he was going to do something. Our guy, Martin, Sundog Monkey, he had him outright. I know that. He was cheering for him, and I was rooting for him. You know, I didn't have any interest there, but I thought in general, just to see him get a win. I know Noto has also, over at RotoGrinders, been cheering for this guy for years. I was really hoping for him to come through, but hey, maybe it's this week. And then what about going back to your guy, Adam Schenk? We go back to him at 7,100 too?
Man, yeah, he hurt me a little bit. He was playing well until, you know, the second day, and he missed the cut. And I thought he had a chance for a little bit of a comeback. Now, the one guy I did have in my cash game, Cornerstones, in my cash lineup last week, is Naismith. And I think he birdied like 5 of the last 7 holes to make the cut, which actually gave me a little bit of a chance. Hope, even though I only had 3 of 6 to make the cut. Like I said, I was only about 25 points out of the cash when it came down to that. So, but yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm probably not going to go down the Schenk this week.
Yeah, you need a lot of points this week too, right? So you can make. We're going to get into the 6K range in a second here. You can definitely hop in there and, you know, dip your feet in. But I think it's still, you know, I don't know if it's going to cut it. We'll talk about some guys, because it made me think of this, Kenny. You brought up Matthew Neesmith, and he did that, but so did a fellow Canadian, Michael Glidzik, and he did his thing. And then on Sunday, I loved him.
Proposed, around for, right? Yeah. Didn't he propose to his wife like that week? I mean, now his career is over, but I mean, good for him. You know what I'm saying?
No, I saw, and then on Sunday, I saw his scorecard, and it was like eagle, 3 birdies, and then like a double bogey, and 3 other bogeys to go with it. So I don't know if that's going to be enough, but when you get these guys at the bottom barrel prices, sometimes you like to take advantage. One last guy for me here, two last guys, I guess. Wyndham Clark certainly is a guy that I'll always play. Just another one for courses like this that can stand out. I think he's got upside. And then last week, Vincent Whaley, man, he was getting a little hate. Shout out to our guy, EPAT. He put, I forget who he put in his sweatsheet. Always follow his stuff. You guys don't follow his newsletter, The Quick Nine. It's great as well. Get a lot of good little tidbits in there, but give him a little shot here. He said, I said he should go to Whaley, and he said, oh, chalk Whaley. I'll let the sharps have him. And then Whaley came in at 2.7% and made that cut and did some numbers. So I can go back to Whaley. I think it's more than enough at 7K if he's your last guy in or something like that. I'll take a shot with him. What do you think?
I think he's made like 8 cuts in a row. It's like top 10 in most cuts made on tour consecutive. Now, the pissed off thing about me was my final cash in Cornerstone last year came between Schenk and Whaley. And of course, I fucking picked Schenk, and because I did, I had Whaley written up as a possible cash play in my Wednesday article, and I didn't play him. So
yeah, solid all around. Always good off the tee. His last results: 26, 29, 34, 28, 36, 15. Like, he basically is a top 35, top 30. Yeah. So, you know, you can plug that in if he's your last guy in at 7,000. You don't want to get crazy and dip down below. But take us into the range down here, Kenny. We got a lot of guys under 7K again. I think it's almost 100. I didn't count them up, but yeah, go ahead. Talk to me about what we got down here in the 6K range.
I like a Canadian brethren, Roger Sloan at 6,900. Long iron's good. Par 5's good. He's made a few cuts in a row. Iron game's been really strong. Will Gordon, long off the tee. I think that's basically about it. You'll see him pop on occasion. Definitely a flyer when it comes down to it. It's boom or bust type guy. JB Holmes, again, with his length, you saw him pop up a few weeks ago in an event, and one of my cash game cornerstone, my final cash game cornerstone. I'm going, like I said, a bit off the wall this week. It's going to be Tyler McCumber at $6,400. Prior to his missed cup at the Wells Fargo, 16th, 33rd, 22nd in his prior 3 events, and 2 of them were like no joke events. It was the Players and the Honda, and he finished 18th at Corrales. You know, a couple of top 10s early on in the year. At Corrales again, the one earlier in September, and Sanderson Farms. I think he's long enough off the tee. It's just going to be my punt play. I needed to go down below 6,500 because my top 3 guys were so highly priced. So my 4 cash game cornerstones are going to be Spieth at 10.7, Willie Z at 9.7. Peters at 8.6 or 8.7, one of the two. And then McCumber at 6,400. It's going to leave you 14,600. Again, you can throw in the guy I talked about 7,300 as well if you want. And then I have no idea who the final guy is going to be. So we'll have to wait for that. You might have sold me on Whaley, so I might have just given away my whole lineup this week. And DK can't be happy about that. But I still don't think it'll be duplicated that much because it is a little bit wild for cash. And that's just the way it's going to go for me. Other guys, Sung Kang, I think there's a lot of Koreans that live in Texas. So it could be the week to play a bunch of Koreans. We'll see how that goes. So he's another guy that I'll probably get on. Who do you like in this range?
I like Tyler McCumber's first name. That might be about it though. So there we'll see about that lineup. That's what all that's got going for it. I think going down here, a couple guys stood out. You know, you mentioned that, Sung Kang play. I don't know if that's a play or not. Like, I bet him this morning at 350-1 with the top five each way just because of the little narrative. But I think that's as far as that will go. And it's very unlikely to hit. So I wouldn't recommend tailing that.
And what about Sean Stefani? Don't we always have to play him in Texas? Isn't that a rule when it comes down to $6,200? Yeah. Always play Stefani in Texas, even though he sucks ass everywhere else. It might be worth a look down there at 6,200.
We'll give him a small tag here. Yeah, maybe he's a guy. But other guys, you mentioned, guys in Texas. Danny Lee's in Texas. I like him. I think he's got upside at 6,700. Yeah. I like Troy Merritt, especially in tournaments that go like 20 under. He just seems to always pop in those and just surprises everybody. And he's not really someone that gets on a lot of people's radar. So I do like him there a little bit above. I think if there ever was going to be a Will Gordon week, to your point, this would be the type that you would see him show up at. So he makes some sense. And then these are just like off the wall guys I'm going to throw out there. If you like any, you can talk about them after or add more. But Kramer Hickok, I like him. Bronson Burgoon, don't mind that. Michael Glidzik, who I just mentioned, just bouncing back, doing his thing. Definitely Mark Hubbard. I think he's a guy that can always pop. And then Scott Harrington showed up. If you're looking at guys that can make a lot of eagles, he's one that I saw there. And then the very bottom of the barrel, Kenny, the last of it, and then I'll let you finish us out. Chris Baker, the birdie maker, hasn't done anything. There's nothing to go off here, but he's $6,000. So if you want to make some of those lineups, I think he's a guy you could chuck into them. He can definitely score. And then the two of the four Monday Q guys that got through. So MJ Duffu, the Monday Q king. I'm sure you've heard of him by now. Three eagles today to dust the field. He didn't even need the playoff. There was a 7-for-3 playoff to get in, and he didn't even need that. So he just crushed him. He was at 8-under. I think everyone else got to 5. He made three eagles. He always scores well. He just never puts it together in the actual event. He qualifies all the time. But I'll try him out. Any type of scoring track I'm going to play him at. And then Dylan Meyer, another guy. You saw the reaction on Twitter. Super pumped up to get into this event. And some probably won't remember him, but we played him a lot back in like 2018. Did well at some of the – at least one of the majors he came through at. I know he got like a top 25 or top 30 there. And then a couple other events, Sanderson Farms, things like that, just scoring events. Right. This is what I'm going after. So, you know, those guys are off the wall, but just ones that you could take some shots on. Again, you don't really need to go down here too often, but in a big scoring event like this, it won't hurt you because as long as they get through and make the cut, they're going to score a bunch over the weekend, or they should.
Yeah, that's probably it for me. I mean, I'll probably throw a few more out there as the week goes on, but it's looking rough out here. And that's why it was so hard to make a cash lineup with this new strategy I got. But yeah, I did it. I will see how it goes. I mean, again, this is sort of a new thing for me. Usually I was all about the cut makers and, you know, the guys out there, but that's not just not the way it's been working for me. So I got to switch it up. We're going upside, crazy lineups, cash. That's how we rolling. And we'll see how it goes. All right, let's get the bets this week. I do have a six pack this week. I'm going to start now. It was either going to be like Bryson and Rahm and then like no one else, or six other guys. I went with the six other guys. So I'm going to start with Koepka at 23-1, Leishman at 35-1, Peters at 70-1, Ortiz at 80-1, Kizire at 125-1, and McCumber at 400-1.
Don't hate it. McCumber, man, that's your guy this week. So
that's my guy this week. And he's going to shoot like plus 10 and miss the fucking cut. It's going to be fucking horrible. But we'll see. We will see. We got to keep rolling with this way. I told myself this is the way I'm going to make cash. It is against every principle I've had making cash lineups throughout my whole career. But we're fucking doing it. It's time for a fucking change.
Yeah, I like it. I love it, actually. I got four bets. I got Bryson Hammer. 10-1. It didn't drop much since DJ bowed out, but it's still, I couldn't believe, I wanted that number right when I woke up. So that was the first bet I made of the week. Palmer 50-1 with the top five each way. Gooch 80-1 with the top five each way. And then Kang, throw your money down the drain, 350-1, top five each way. That's the four that I've got for now. May look, like I said, I really like that Peters first round leader bet. I'm going to find that one, hit that up right quick and go from there and see if I can add some more as the week goes on.
All right. So one and done for me. I'm going Peters.
You know, it's funny. I like that call, but I was just going to say this. The 2 weeks I hedged in one and done was Spieth because I was never playing him, and then he goes on to win. So I got him in one and done, got the win. And then last week with Rory, did the same thing. Did
Not shit, play him. You should be moving up 2 weeks. You're probably up there somewhere. Like still top only gets thousand. Me like
top. Yeah, it's like top 800. I got a long ways to go yet still, but you know, that's just funny, right? Sometimes I'll do it like that because I don't care that much about it. I got more to play on DraftKings, FanDuel, etc. So I'm trying to focus on that, but. I don't know who it would be this week. If you're thinking it that way, maybe Matsuyama, throw him in there. Cause certainly probably not going to be playing him at 10-3, but I think it's a big boy week. I already mentioned at the top, Rom, Bryson, dust the field and win this thing. You know, Bryson more than likely, that's who I'm going with.
All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter at KendoVT. You can find my article every week on GupsCorner.com. Of course, PB's already out. I'm going to add a bunch more on Wednesday. Want to learn a little bit more about the course. I'll add my final cash game cornerstones, which I think are going to be the same. I don't know if I'm going to move from them. My favorite DFS plays in every single price range. And then I will do my final betting card, which I don't think it's going to change either. So there you go for this week. It's going to be pretty simple. Tyler.
Yeah, go over there and find his sixth man because you've already got the first five.
Yeah, the sixth man will be on the list. So there you go.
There you go. It's a solid deal. Yeah, you know, you guys know where to find me on Twitter at Toetag and Tambo. Add me there. Hit me up if you have any questions. Other than that, go to rotogrinders.com/dgen. Get yourself signed up. Get $10 off the first month. We've got the Tuesday night show with Notorious and STL Cards with myself. And then Wednesday night this week, it's going to be myself and Notorious hopping on Lineup HQ just to go through some of these builds and what it looks like the industry is doing out there when it comes to roster construction and just look for ways we can go against that and maybe beat the field and get some wins here, Kenny. I don't know. I can win at MMA and MLB, but I can't really win at PGA yet. So LPGA too, throw that in there. But can't get the PGA wins going right now. So hoping to turn around this week, get a little bit of momentum, not too much, and then ride the wins into the PGA Championship for the big week.
Yeah, you need to shut the fuck up because I haven't won like a GBP in like a couple years. I did win like a showdown GBP showdowns. I won one in December in football, actually. But so fuck you, Tyler. All right, so this week, not Tyler McComber, you. So this week, we're going buck fucking wild in cash. Let's win some motherfucking money, DJ Nation.